It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We explore Wisconsin's contribution to pickleball with estimates of tens of millions of players nationwide. The Association of Pickleball Professionals calls it America's fastest growing sport in its latest participation report. You can be part of this pickleball discussion at any point. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Phil Larson is a longtime pickleball player, creator of the website Pickleball Wisconsin to promote the sport. Phil, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Neil Friedenberg here, president and co-owner of ProLite Sports, a New Berlin-based company manufacturing pickleball paddles. Neil, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, Neil, let's start with you. Pickleball, been part of your life for quite some time now. How did you first start playing it?
Oh, wow. It goes pretty far back. I grew up in the Seattle area in Federal Way, Washington, and my dad worked at Weyerhaeuser headquarters. And one year they put in a pickleball court next to the racquetball court. And during his lunch hour, he just became kind of addicted, like a lot of us do, you know, became addicted to pickleball. And he went down there during his lunch hour, started playing, understood the game, learned about it, and then started playing in tournaments. And, you know, one day he said, Neil, why don't you come in on the weekend and play a little pickleball with me? So we did that. And it was a lot of fun. You know, just like everyone that starts playing pickleball, they want more and more.
Isn't it Washington State where pickleball originated, the birthplace?
Yes, it originated in 1965 on Bainbridge Island, which is also near Seattle, just a ferry boat away.
Has it been like to watch it slowly grow and then really explode in popularity?
It's been really exciting. I'm not going to lie. It really is eye-opening because, you know, it's been a part of my life for so long. And for so long, it was always, oh, that's an old person sport. And now we see the average age right around that 30-year-old range, you know, and everyone's getting in there and playing. They're all bringing different skill sets to the game. When I say that, you know, from baseball or tennis or ping pong, and then they bring that to the game and just create different types of styles, which is a lot of fun to see. So diverse out there.
Phil Larson, how were you introduced to pickleball?
It was very popular in the villages in Florida, which is a 50-plus, I believe it's 50-plus retirement community or 50-plus living community. And a friend of mine would go down there and visit his parents, and he came back and told me about this game of pickleball. And as I was aging, you know, I've always been an athlete. As I was aging, I was always looking for something to keep in shape and something active to have in my life on a consistent basis. And that sounded like a great thing. And so I started searching around for it to try to find a place to play. And it was hard, but eventually I found it in my local rec center that they offered it, and I started playing.
How often do you play now?
I play about 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great sport to keep physically active, to keep those joints moving. I'm 58 now. It's also a big part of the sport is the social aspect, too, that was the bonus. That I never anticipated is that you connect socially with people. And Neil kind of touched on it. He used a phrase that it's so addictive. And that is really I hear that all the time, almost every day when I communicate with people about pickleball, that term comes up, that it's so addictive. And I remember when I was first playing, they had it in the evening at our local rec center in Hartford, Wisconsin. And I was sitting on a bleacher waiting to go into a game because there was only 3 courts and there was probably about 6 or 8 people waiting to go in. And a woman that was sitting next to me, she's a nurse, we were getting ready to go in and she said, this is so addictive. And I said, yeah, it really is. And she goes, I've been thinking about it all day long. And she's like, and I am
pickleball,
I'm
consuming
myself,
one's thoughts.
Like, she's at work doing a colonoscopy, and all she's thinking about is pickleball. And I was the same way. I was like, you know what? I was all day long. I was like looking forward to coming and playing. And I believe what the addictive thing is you pickleball's like you're standing on a large table tennis court or table tennis top or whatever, ping pong table, and you're playing this game and you have to focus for these short spurts. Okay, so you're focused and it's your soft game, and then all of a sudden it turns into a fast, rapid,
a banger.
And then it ends and one team wins that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it usually ends in some kind of joy or some kind of release, and it's usually laughter. And I think it's, how our brain, we release these endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
It's that over and over and over again. And that's the addictive part of it. And, that's that. And I'm sticking by that. That's my theory. I'm sticking by it.
All right. We'll take some of that medicine. Phil Larson, creator of a Pickleball Wisconsin website, Neil Friedenberg, co-owner of ProLite Sports. It's a New Berlin company making pickleball paddles. You can join in on the game at 800-642-1234. Neil, can we get into some of the nuts and bolts of pickleball? How is a pickleball court different from a tennis court?
Sure, no problem. A pickleball court is 20 by 44, so it's almost a duplicate of a badminton court. The net is 34 inches in the middle and 36 inches on the side, so it's smaller than a tennis court, and it's easier on the muscles and joints. I think that's why it's so attractive to really all ages, especially in the upper ages. It's easier on the muscles and joints. You're having fun, you're laughing, you're competitive, you're playing pickleball, and within 2-3 hours, that goes by, and people don't even know it's been 3 hours. They just got a great workout. They're happy. They're having fun. They're connecting socially, mentally, physically. And it's just a great sport. And, the ball is different, too. It's not like that typical tennis ball or anything hard. It's a harder type of wiffle ball. And it has, for outdoors, it has 40 holes. For indoors, it has 26. And the holes for indoors are larger. The reason they're smaller for the outdoor is because, with wind and things like that, it can affect the ball a little bit more. So they made the holes smaller.
Oh, I didn't realize the difference between the indoor and the outdoor door ball. In terms
Yep.
of learning the game, how much instruction do you need to be able to be okay with your partner?
People learn this game very quickly. I think, again, that's another attraction to the sport is you improve quickly. You can go out there for the first time, get into a group. Pickleball players are very welcoming, so they'll get in there. They know that you're new, and they'll teach you. I think the learning time is fairly quick. There are different components as you get more competitive. There's definitely more emphasis on dinking and the soft game, which will eventually set up, that put-away shot. I think there's a lot of similarities between this game, pickleball, and golf, just the mental part of it, because, it's pretty much you versus yourself. 3 out of the 4 points in pickleball are usually because of unforced errors, which is, yourself making those errors. So honing in on the soft game, making sure you're getting that ball over one more time than your opponent. And it's just, it's very attractive. You improve quickly, and people love the game, no matter what age. And as I said before, people are getting younger and younger. And in fact, ProLite, we're working with some colleges out there to have this sport in more of the athletic programs, intramurals, and it's just very active. Seems like there's wherever you go or whatever you read, there's another pickleball article, whether it's, a tournament or pickleball courts being put in unused malls, mm-hmm. things like that. That's happening right now. And in fact, I think there's one in Milwaukee that's looking at that.
We're going to dig further into the economy of pickleball. Neil Friedenberg and Phil Larson here as we talk about the nationwide growth of pickleball and the view from Wisconsin. Phil created the website Pickleball Wisconsin, Neil overseeing a new Berlin company making paddles for the sport. You can be part of our conversation, calling in with your question, your thoughts about pickleball, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Association of Pickleball Professionals, they estimate over 36 million adults now playing the sport. And wondering, are you one of them? As we talk about the growing popularity of pickleball with longtime Wisconsin player Phil Larson and New Berlin-based paddle manufacturer Neil Friedenberg with ProLite Sports, call in with your question or comment on pickleball at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Phil, what appeals have you made to cities and towns to try to establish pickleball courts?
Well, it's how my website kind of started out is the reason it was is because there was plenty of places to play indoors in gyms. A lot of communities had it, but very few communities had outdoor courts. There's only a hand, maybe two or three at the time when I was playing. And so I didn't want to be, many of the players didn't want to be cooped up in a gym in our beautiful Wisconsin summers. And so we started chalking lines on parking lots and that just wasn't practical. And eventually we started going to rec departments and asking them, and most of them were not very open to it. They thought in those days that pickleball was just going to be a fad and it would be over with quickly. Most of them did not see the future of it. So we started lobbying parks and rec boards, and we would bring in 20 to 30 adults that were taxpayers and lobby their boards. And it was the amazing thing is a lot of these rec departments, they actually fought us. They prepared statements to try to not have pickleball grow. But fortunately, some of these boards saw the future of it and they approved painting lines on tennis courts. And I get it. If you're a tennis player, you don't want lines messing up your courts, because that's the easiest and cheapest way to do it is just paint pickleball lines on top of the tennis, over the tennis lines. And they didn't want that. And I get that. But, you know, in every other sport on a gym floor, there's all kinds of lines and we all have to learn to work together. And it's really not a big deal. And so we started getting that done. And one by one, different communities started doing it. And eventually what happened, that spawned, first it was just painting lines on tennis courts. And then that eventually evolved into communities, because there was so much interest building their own courts. And oftentimes they would just take a lightly used or rarely used tennis court and convert it into a pickleball court.
Make that conversion.
Courts.
Or multiple courts. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I want to, Neil, get your thoughts as well. Have there been many conflicts with tennis players? Will pickleball consume tennis?
I think, you know, honestly, I think it's already consuming tennis. You know, I think the only conflict is those tennis courts, you know, are now becoming pickleball courts. They're converting them. So that's, you know, that's kind of hitting the tennis players a little bit hard. And when you look at tennis courts versus pickleball courts, it's not even close. There's four times the amount of people waiting to play pickleball versus tennis. It's just a transition, you know. I think I see a lot of tennis players that used to play transitioning to pickleball. It's more fun. 3 hours go by. And like I said before, it's extremely social. So not so far away from your opponent. You're having fun and smiling and laughing and playing out points. I think something that does come up a lot is noise. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty sure every pickleball company is on top of that. But I know I can speak for ProLite. No matter what paddle we come out with, it's going to pass the noise restrictions out there. Believe it or not, there are communities out there that have noise restriction policies. So no matter what, we are developing those paddles where it's a low pitch. It's not that high pitch sound that I think paddles in the past used to have.
So you're saying, like, the materials you make, the resin you use, can have an impact on the sound of the ball hitting the paddle, and you can vary that noise.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can manipulate that all day long. We have different technologies, and there's different materials and surfaces out there that just create more sound dampening, and that, and of course, vibration dampening too for the player, which is always helpful.
How does that affect the game, do you think?
The materials we use, it's a lower pitch. There is better control, better feel to the ball. You can also manipulate different thicknesses and paddles. That also has a lot of impact on the sound. It's really created a lot more power and control in the game for the player. They can, you know, seek out a paddle that has more control versus power, or both.
Is there a lot more variety now in paddles? What do you see in the variations that are coming to market?
I think it's kind of funny. You know, when ProLite first was established, it was because there was only wood paddles. The ratio between the ball and the paddle was just way off. When you compared a tennis ball and a tennis racket, it was more 7 to 1. And then when you looked at the heavy wood pickleball paddles versus the ball, it was way up there, and it was just too heavy. So ProLite, Arlen Peronto, he has since passed, but he was the creator of ProLite back in 1984, so almost 40 years of existence. He was a Boeing engineer and took floor panels from airlines, you know, from the scrapyard, and developed paddles, and it changed the game. It revolutionized really everything about it, how it was played, the equipment, the weight of the paddles, and it made it more of an emphasis on dinking in the soft game. Right now, if you look at that structure that was developed back in 1984, you can see a lot of it being done right now. So 40 years later, a lot of those materials and a lot of that structure is being used. But I think we're on the verge of a lot of more advanced technologies too.
And they're happening in your paddles here in Wisconsin.
Yes, we are in New Berlin, Wisconsin. We just moved from our Milwaukee location, and we outgrew our space, basically. The game's exploding, and our growth is on the upward trend, and has been for a while, just since, you know, the game kind of sells itself. You know, we have a very well-established brand. We are definitely the oldest brand in the market, and that means a lot to us. You know, we make ours in the U.S. right here in Wisconsin, and it's just phenomenal. We love it. We outgrew the space, and now we're in New Berlin.
Neil Friedenberg, who owns a company that makes pickleball paddles. Phil Larson, creator of the Pickleball Wisconsin website, as we talk about this sport and what it means to Wisconsin and the nation. 800-642-1234 to join in. Julia in Madison now. Julia, hi.
Hi. I am a pro sports person in terms of inclusion and making sure everybody gets moving. I was benefited from Title IX, but my older siblings did not. And so I think it's wonderful to have activities. However, there's an effect that's occurring that I don't know if people are aware of, which is I personally run a nonprofit based in equity for kids in urban areas. And what's happening is that the local schools, the prime time, I've had it taken, our courts, one out of three courts that I could get has been taken by pickleball because they have more money, they can sign up people, and the programs who are dependent upon money to keep other programs running in the schools are renting to adult programs where those people could drive to more. I'm happy to hear that they might be taking over like mall spaces that are vacant or things like that, buildings that aren't being used. But what's happening is kids who don't have any way to get to other locations are being kind of taken, the school prime time Monday through Friday during the evenings is being taken by pickleball, which I totally get.
But it presents an access issue. Julia, thank you. I want to go to Phil on this. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, I see that it's well, the sport is not always about
local or community rec centers. Like Neil said, it's becoming more and more private as well. And as the sport grows, I think it'll wash out. It won't always be relying on a local rec department or their public facilities. It's becoming more and more private. There's restaurants that are now, there's a chain in America called Chicken and Pickle. They have a restaurant and they also have pickleball courts in all their places. So there's more and more of those type of places coming. And as the sport's growing, I think it'll all wash out. I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Phil Larson with us, Neil Friedenberg here as well, co-owner of ProLite Sports. Phil, longtime paddleball player. The number to join in with your question and your comments about the game, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, a national trade group for the sports and fitness industry. They named pickleball once again America's fastest growing sport this year, with participation nearly doubling year over year. What attracts people to pickleball? We explore that question with two Wisconsinites. Longtime player Phil Larson is here and paddle manufacturer Neil Friedenberg. Join in by calling with your questions, your thoughts along the way, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Neil, do you have thoughts on the challenges for municipalities and cities ensuring that pickleball courts are accessible to residents and they hear that pickleball demand, but not overshadowing other community needs like youth access and other groups that don't have the same leverage?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. You kind of broke up on that.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Yeah, that's okay. I was just wondering if you have thoughts on the challenges of the balancing for municipalities to ensure that pickleball players are heard and they have more leverage than youth groups and other groups that just don't have the voice and the dollars behind them.
Right. Well, we do. ProLite does have programs actually for it's called a trade-in program. So a lot of our customers will trade in their old paddles. And then what we do with them is we donate those paddles to kids programs, community programs, FIED teachers, and we try to spread the information of pickleball to new communities and a lot of communities that don't have access to paddles like that. I think what Phil mentioned, you know, having lobbying for more courts, I think is really important just because there's just so many underutilized tennis courts out there. It just involves everyone, so I think that's really important to get that message out.
What do you think about the economy forming around pickleball, like facilities going up or being retrofitted? The pickleball restaurant entertainment model out there. Are investors eager to get a piece of this?
I think there's just so many avenues that they can explore. You know, what Phil mentioned, Chicken and Pickle, so their business model, it's great. And I think it's attracting a lot of more of the youth out there. So they have, you know, a barbecue, they have craft brew, which is obviously great for Milwaukee, you know, having our beer industry and beer history here.
Sounds about right. Yes.
and they have, not only do they have pickleball courts, but they have oversized tailgating games. So when I say oversized tailgating games, they have Battleship. They have cornhole, obviously, which is big here too. And it's very attractive. It's becoming like, you know, that social part of someone's life. They can go out and hang out with their friends, be active, have a beer, talk about family. It's just, you know, overall, it's a great experience for that person. And then, you know, with shopping malls around the country, like I mentioned before, there's a lot of people are just shopping online right now. You know, they're not going to the malls anymore. The malls are, a lot of them are closing. So here we have more underutilized space. What can we do to attract more customers? And that's why they actually called Pickle Mall, is instead of pickleball, it's Pickle Mall, and that's what they're doing across the country. There's a lot you can do. I think right now we're in this infancy of pickleball where people and entrepreneurs are exploring, well, how can we become part of this game? You know, what's not being explored? And it's kind of the same mentality that we're doing with materials in pickleball. You know, at our facility, we have prototypes from, gosh, every different material out there, because we want to investigate what does this ball do and how does it react off this paddle and who will it be meant for.
Phil, I wonder, have you been lobbying for Pickle Mall in Wisconsin? What are you hearing?
Did you say for Pickle Mall?
Uh-huh, right. This...
Fortunately, my lobbying days are over with. We used to have to do that all the time, and it was a battle, and now it's just a no-brainer. A group of us, we started probably the first club in the state, because that's what we needed. We needed numbers to go against these boards and lobby. And then what happened is these boards started coming, Parks and Rec directors started coming and watching us play outdoors and from all over the southeastern Wisconsin community, and they'd see what's happening, and then they'd ask us questions. And then they were coming to us asking us how we can do this, how we should set up the courts, and that kind of thing. So those days are long gone, and now it's a no-brainer to put courts in.
What about indoor courts, though, and retrofitting old malls? Is that a smart investment?
That takes us into a whole different thing. Like, would I put my money into it? Me personally, I wouldn't. I used to own comedy clubs. That's what I did for a living. So I was in that industry, and I don't think that the sport can. It needs to be connected to a bar and a restaurant. And just like with my business, with a comedy club business, you can't just sell tickets and people will come and watch a show. You need something else to supplement that. You need bar and food. And I was in that business. I don't want to be in that business anymore. That was a young man's business. So if you're going to do that with the Pickle Mall, you're going to need that. And that not everyone is cut out for that business or wants to be in that business. So you're basically opening a restaurant, bar restaurant as well.
Okay. Phil Larson there, creator of Pickleball Wisconsin website, and Neil Friedenberg, co-owner of ProLite Sports, a New Berlin company making paddles. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Neil, how did you end up taking over ProLite Sports?
Well, in 2011, I actually ended up buying the company. My father was running it more as a hobby. It wasn't what it is now. When I bought it in 2011, there were three companies total, and then that's including us. Now there's hundreds, including some of the major brands out there. I had all these ideas. I was that type of kid, and I say this a lot, but I was the kid that was basically being dragged out of sporting goods stores. but my parents would go, and, you know, we were active in sports, especially baseball, and we're looking at different equipment, and here I am kind of wandering around. Maybe you could call that ADD back then. I don't know. It wasn't labeled, but I would get called to the customer service desk, and they said, your parents are looking for you. So I was always attracted to different sporting equipment, whether it be sports that I played or sports that I didn't. And in 2011, I bought the company and kind of ran with it. I had all these ideas to bring different types of paddles. I had names. I had components that I wanted to put into a paddle and really make a smooth transition for that customer from a different sport. Maybe it's racquetball. Maybe it's tennis, ping pong. And how can I make a paddle specifically for that background?
That's interesting. Like the paddle itself can be a gateway from other sports based on the components that go into the actual paddle.
Exactly. And including the shape, too. You know, what's going to be very easy to transition from that sport to pickleball.
Are there regulations that you have to abide by, for the shape and the size and the weight of the paddle?
There's no regulation on weight, but for the most part, most people want a 7 ounce to 8.5, 9 ounce paddle. So there's a lot of variation or weight range in that. And that again, kind of relates to what backgrounds they're coming from. And then the shape, the length plus width cannot exceed 24 inches total. So therefore, you know, you have a lot of play in the length of the handle versus a short handle and a bigger face of a paddle. And then as far as thickness or materials, there really is no regulation on that, except there can't be a gigantic deflection rate or trampoline effect on the paddle where it becomes dangerous.
Hmm.
Because, you know, you have that kitchen area that's pretty close to your opponent, and you know, sometimes there are injuries, so it's important to, you know, to wear protective eyewear if you can, and things like that.
Can you talk about the kitchen in that reference there?
Well, back in the day, I mean, I called it the non-volley zone. So basically it's a 7-foot area near the net on both sides of the court, you know, your opponent and yourself. And you can go, people kind of get this wrong sometimes. You can go in there all day long, but it's not really recommended because you cannot hit out of the air if you're in that area. You have to hit it off of a bounce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're in that area and someone hits at you and you volley it instead of letting it bounce, that's a fault on you. You can't do that. So that's why the kitchen is really known for that dinking area. You know, you're going back and forth and there's fast exchanges and you're standing right at that line that goes into the kitchen.
Neil, what about you? What should people consider when buying a paddle? What do you like?
I like the soft game. I believe I can create enough power and speed with my swing speed. So I like a softer feel. You know, I like to get up there. And so when you're going up against an opponent that's hitting hard at you, you can put out your paddle and it will kind of absorb a lot of that energy and get back to that soft game where you're spreading the court, you're dinking to the corners, you're spreading out the court so you can have, you know, different areas and alleys that you can hit down that would make it tough for that opponent. Tempo is really important. Everyone has their own tempo that they're really comfortable with. And if you can speed up that tempo or slow it down, for instance, you mentioned a banger before. A lot of tennis players transitioning into pickleball, they want to hit the heck out of the ball.
Naturally, sure. They're bangers. Yes.
Hey, I mean, I was too. I played some tennis and baseball. I wanted to hit hard too, because, you know, if you hit harder than your opponent, you have to win the point, right? But that doesn't happen in pickleball. So that's why it's a lot of fun. You know, you can go up to someone or go against someone that might hit harder than you, might be a stronger stature than you. But if you outsmart them, you play that game of chess, you know, you slow down the game where the tempo is uncomfortable for them, then those mistakes come into play, right? The 3 out of the 4 points are unforced errors. The tempo is not comfortable. They're making mistakes, and now they're getting into their own head. And then you have the whole mental part of the game. So there's so much happening so quickly in pickleball. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Phil Larson and Neil Friedenberg with us looking at the rising popularity of pickleball in Wisconsin and beyond. Phil, creator of Pickleball Wisconsin's the website. Neil, overseeing a new Berlin company making paddles for the sport. Join in, call with your question or comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the popularity of pickleball, the sport that combines elements of tennis and badminton, ping pong, according to its national governing body. You can share thoughts on the sport, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have longtime players in Wisconsin, Phil Larson and Neil Friedenberg. They're here. Neil also co-owns a pickleball paddle manufacturing firm. Neil, for a while, ProLite Sports sponsored pro pickleball players. What is the pro circuit like?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. You know, I believe we were the first company to sponsor pros for, I think it was back in 2016, 2017. We really put a lot of emphasis on that. And then after some time, we analyzed the return on that investment, and it was fairly low. You know, we were wondering why. You know, we're putting money into the pockets of these pros that are going from tournament to tournament, And then we looked at why this was happening, why is the return on the investment so low? And, you look at the sport and you see that 99% of the players out there, it's grassroots. It's communities all across the nation and world now. And, you go over there to those communities, and I was doing a lot of that. I was teaching clinics, doing demo days, especially around Wisconsin. And I would name drop. I would say, hey, did you see that tournament out there? So-and-so won that tournament. And they just looked at me with a blank stare and said, who? They had no idea. So what we realized is they're falling in love with the game. And it's our job at ProLite to, get out there and focus really our philosophy on grassroots and community-based tournaments, which, in fact, we're going to be at a tournament in Madison, the Madtown Pickleball Open, which is tomorrow, or actually starts today through the 16th. So, we wanted to reemphasize our growth along the community-based types of tournaments and players out there.
Phil,
the pro circuit, there's, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to bring in Phil there and wondering how much better are pro pickleball players from amateurs?
Well, a lot better. But before, I wanted to just touch about what Neil said is when you had the number one female player, her name's Simone Jardim, and she was just dominating. There was nobody even close to her. She was the number one pickleball player in the world. She played with ProLite, and I was proud as a Wisconsin player. I obviously play with, I shouldn't say obvious, but I play with Wisconsin paddles and I play with ProLite because of that. I think there's something important about supporting local industry. And plus they're the greatest paddles, Neil's not paying me for this, but anyways, I would say to players, I'd say, hey, did you see that Simone, I'd mentioned her play at the US Open or something like that. And one time a player said, Simone, what is that, a dessert? And this is a player that plays all the time. And you hit it right on the head. I don't know how long this pro thing. I don't think it's going away, but I think it's going to refine itself and whittle it down to the really, really top-level players. There's just a lot of mud in there right now. The term pro will eventually probably refine itself in the coming years.
Neil, how do you feel about this refining process at the pro level?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'll be honest, since we refocused our emphasis on more of the grassroots, it's been phenomenal. We've been growing and growing and growing, just like probably a lot of companies, but we put more emphasis on product development, R&D, spend monies more on getting out and doing kids programs for pickleball, spreading that growth. I mentioned before, we're working with more colleges. I think within a couple of years, you're going to see championships amongst all the colleges out there. It will become, NCAA championships.
Okay, but what about being an Olympic sport?
Absolutely. It's on its way. I think there's, if I remember correctly, there has to be a certain amount of countries that already have pickleball and pros out there. I don't see any reason why it will not become a pro sport right now. And I'm not bashing any other sports. I'm just saying you have curling, you have skateboarding, you have a lot of other sports that you would think, well, why not pickleball? Badminton's in there, right? Tennis is in there. And now we have the fastest growing sport and it's becoming international. I mean, we have distributors and dealers across Singapore, Sweden, Europe, Spain. It's just growing and growing. So I think within the next couple of years, it's already being talked about and there's already an emphasis to get it into the Olympics. So I don't see any reason why it won't be.
Phil, what would it mean to this sport if it did become part of an Olympic sport?
Well, it would obviously become much more. It would even grow even more. I believe don't quote me on this, but I believe it's got to be like a majority of the countries in our world have to have a governing body, like in America we have USA Pickleball. So I believe there's got to be the majority of the countries have to have a governing body. It's probably maybe a third now, or maybe even half of the countries have that, but it still has a ways to go. But yeah, it would be wonderful. And like I said before, it's addictive. And the most important thing to me, I mean, yes, I enjoy it playing it physically, but the social aspect of it, I think a lot of people don't even think about it. It just comes with it. The social, especially as people are aging too, and even younger people, but just the social aspect is incredible. And tennis players that are coming into the sport have commented so many times that it's so socially different than tennis, the social aspect of the sport, which we need in our country. We're all connected to these phones. And I think it's just a great part of the sport.
Neil, what is your advice for people who want to give pickleball a try?
Once they try it, they're all in. I think it's just that attractive for everyone. I think you need to find a good paddle. You know, for the most part, we at ProLite has paddles $60 up to $200. They're all great paddles performance wise that we put a lot of emphasis on that control and power paddles too. And there's a lot of carbon fiber and fiberglass. But do your research, find a good paddle. We're American made, so that's important. You know, we have 40 years of experience in the industry. Before pickleball was cool, we knew how special this sport was. And I just want to say one thing, kind of going off of what Phil said, and I think it's really important to mention this. Back in, I think it was 2012, so I was making paddles on my own. It was me in my in-laws' basement making paddles with my cell phone and my laptop. I was the miniature assembly line making paddles all day long. And I got a call from a lady in Arizona, and she just wanted to talk. And it's really special, and it's a nice moment. So she was walking in her retirement community. She had recently lost her husband, and she was, you know, she was depressed and she was sad, but she was taking a walk past these pickleball courts, and she heard the popping going back and forth and the laughing. So she went over there. And she said, those people were so welcoming. I'm playing pickleball with them. I feel like I have a new family. We're playing card games afterwards. We're having lunch together. What paddle do you recommend? And that was really an eye-opener for me, and it was just a beautiful moment. And like my dad said a long time ago, this sport is special. It saves lives. It adds years to your life. It is the fountain of youth. I think if you go to a pickleball court and you see – you know, all over the place, you'll see firefighters, nurses playing together. You'll see all ages. And it's kind of funny, as you age in pickleball, the colors that they're wearing become brighter and brighter. So it's kind of fun, you know. They have that rejuvenation factor that, you know, the fountain of youth. It's there. It's pickleball.
What surprises me is how people can stay on the courts for hours on end. I mean, that's endurance.
It's endurance. It's just the ultimate sport. I remember I have a friend that lost 35 pounds because of pickleball.
Wow. Wow.
He was excited.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you both for joining us.
No problem. Thank you, Kate.
Phil Larson, pickleball player, created the website Pickleball Wisconsin. Neil Friedenberg, president of ProLite Sports there in New Berlin, making pickleballs, no longer in a basement. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.